A longtime associate of Florida Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz pleaded guilty to six federal crimes today, including sex trafficking of a 17-year-old girl. Joel Greenberg also admitted to paying for at least one underage girl to have sex with him and other men. Greenberg's attorney, Fritz Scheller, responded to reporters' questions about the case.
Does my client have information that could hurt an elected official? I guess this is just, you know, must-see television. You'll just have to wait and see.
Now, federal prosecutors are examining if Gaetz and Greenberg paid underage girls and escorts or offered them gifts in exchange for sex. Investigators are also reportedly looking into whether Gaetz and his associates tried to secure government jobs for a few of the women. Gaetz has not been charged and denies any wrongdoing. Dimitri talked about the case with GOP donor Dan Eberhardt.
I think he was definitely a stalwart to Trump, and, you know, I've seen him at a few events before, and I thought of him as a rising star, but now I think that it's obviously extremely tarnished, and I think everyone is waiting for the shoe to fall in terms of him being charged. But if you're going to be a public servant, you've got to be a good, responsible person and a good steward of society, and it seems like, at least initially, that he took kind of many steps too far.
It seems like somebody like Gaetz or Marjorie Taylor Greene, we're living in a world where their behavior up until now anyway has been rewarded rather than criticized, as you just did.
Yeah, well, I think the actions of the two are just similar. Right. But the charges, at least. But generally speaking, I think this kind of behavior needs to be, these folks need to act with more decorum befitting the offices they hold. I think that in the case of Green, you know, her not being given the committee assignments is a big blow. She's been rebuked by the House in general. Gaetz, it kind of remains to be seen if he's going to be charged. And McCarthy has said if he is charged, then he'll be removed from the committee seats.
Republicans believe they can win back the House. Do they do that with or without Donald Trump's blessing in 2022?
I think they do it with Donald Trump's blessing, but I think it really needs to be a Trump plus strategy, not a Barry Goldwater type purity test around the cult of Trump's personality, in my opinion, to win.
Is that possible? It seems that, you know, given what we saw with Liz Cheney, they are taking an approach that they really need Donald Trump in their corner.
No, absolutely. And I think you see that with Kevin McCarthy going to Mar-a-Lago and kissing the ring, and then with Elise Stefanik, you know, mentioning Trump in every single press outing she's done since getting the conference chair position. But to me, what happened with Liz Cheney was also about her ability to fundraise. And the media has kind of ignored that. But I think her ability to fundraise is why, amongst the party, is why people wanted her out of that position. Although the media stories kind of seem to be painting a different picture. But in terms of Donald Trump, look, we absolutely need Trump support to win. I think if I'm the RNC, I'm really worried about friendly fire and Trump torpedoing potentially good candidates that don't align perfectly with him in the primaries.
Do conservative principles matter anymore?
I think principles always matter. And that's what you're seeing with Liz Cheney. But I think she's chosen it as a potentially as a hill to die on. Conservative principles do matter. And I think that you will see them matter more in the future. But right now, it's a purity test around allegiance to Trump first and then conservative values second.
You mentioned that Liz Cheney was perhaps not able to fundraise. Do you mean in a general sense rather than for her possible reelection in Wyoming?
Well, I mean, the point of the leadership positions is, look, the way you get those positions is generally you raise a lot of money and you support a lot of your fellow House candidates in their reelection bids or challenges. And that's how you kind of move up the ladder. So Liz Cheney, I think they were worried that she wouldn't be able to bring in the amount of dollars that folks are used to for that position with her anti-Trump stance. That's, I think, one of the underlying causes of her being ousted.
You talked about Kevin McCarthy heading down there to kiss the ring not long after the Capitol riot. If Donald Trump turns on Kevin McCarthy?
Well, then I think McCarthy's job becomes an awful lot harder. Remember, two cycles ago, there was this talk of Steve Bannon having these kind of Bannon-esque Senate candidates to challenge some of Mitch McConnell's candidates, and that flame kind of wore out. But, you know, if Donald Trump has a slate of candidates that are going to challenge the NRCC's chosen ones or Kevin McCarthy's kind of orthodox candidates, you know, this could very much ultimately weaken the Republican Party in the general election the fall of 2022.
And something as a donor that's very much on your mind, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Look, I don't want to put good dollars after bad, and I want to see us take the House back. I got to think we've got the momentum and the ability to do it right now, but I really, really wonder if we are not about to start 6 months of shooting ourselves in the foot.
Again, in your capacity as a donor, an observer, and an activist, if you will, in the Republican Party. Do you see something like 9 out of 10 voters very much in the Trump camp?
I think in the party, it's at least 8 out of 10 voters are squarely in the Trump camp. And I think that it's going to be a lonely hill or a lonely little while for Liz Cheney here being on the outside. The vast majority of the people in the Republican Party still support Donald Trump, and a smaller amount of those fervently support him. So he's definitely the head of the party still and a force to be reckoned with. You know, the question is, how do we win elections? We need 51% of the vote or 50 plus one vote. And I think that we need a Trump plus strategy, not a pro-Trump or anti-Trump strategy. You know, the Democrats have got to be smiling to themselves as we have a circular firing squad around our own right now, as opposed to going after Biden's agenda, which I think is overreaching, overspending, and a foreign policy muddle so far. But Republicans don't seem focused on it enough, to be honest.
It is not entirely up to her, but what about Elise Stefanik, who has now replaced Cheney in the House leadership in terms of creating that togetherness?
Well, look, she's a fresh face, and I think that she absolutely could be what the party needs. But I think it was, you know, very opportunistic power grab. The way she got to power, the way she rose to power as a Trump sycophant, when in the past she was a little bit more to the center and more independent a few cycles ago. But look, I mean, that's politics. And I mean, Lindsey Graham has been on both sides of the coin on Trump too, right? So let's take a step back and see how she does.
To your point about her being a fresh face and considered moderate, the idea with her was that she would use her great ambition and intelligence to maybe bring in some millennial voters into the Republican Party and, you know, really make it a big tent party. And she seems to have ditched all of that.
It seems to me like she took the playbook that Kevin McCarthy handed her and walked right up to the podium. It doesn't seem like there's any daylight between the two at all. The contrast to Kevin McCarthy is Mitch McConnell, who, you know, after the January 6th Capitol Hill riots, you know, gave a scathing speech about Trump, voted against impeachment, but went out and gave a scathing speech against Trump, and has really circled around his caucus and focused on the issues. And he said publicly, look, his main focus is on challenging the Biden agenda. I think that that's ultimately more important for right now. And I'd like to see Kevin McCarthy channel a little bit of Mitch McConnell right now, too, if I could.
Again, that's Republican donor Dan Eberhardt joining us on Skype.